And for the purposes of the transcript, this is GAC Plenary Portion 2 for the afternoon of Saturday, July 13th, beginning at approximately 1600 and going until about 1800. Thank you.
Good afternoon again, everyone. If we could begin to take our seats, please, we will begin. Okay, let's get started on our next session. So we now have about 45 minutes to deal with our next agenda item regarding the GAC-Beijing communique and where we stand regarding the responses from the board or the new GTLD program committee on that communique. And then at 5 o'clock, we have, as you I think are aware, we have canceled the board GAC recommendation implementation working group session, as we will talk about GAC early engagement in the policy development process when we meet with the GNSO. And I understand that board colleagues from the board GAC working group will aim to be in attendance when we discuss that in the GNSO, so we will still have the benefit of their involvement in those discussions. And so in light of having this additional time and a late request from a group that wishes to establish a constituency for geo registries, that the vice chairs were very supportive of including in our agenda. They were able to agree to come and brief us at 5 o'clock on that. So we've allotted 30 minutes to receive a briefing from them. And I expect it will be along the same lines as the briefing we received in Beijing from the group wanting to set up the brand registry group, which I understand has now been set up. So that will happen at 5 o'clock. So in the meantime, here's what I would like us to accomplish. We have a few documents that we can refer to for these next discussions. And I think probably the one that's most clear and summarizes everything nicely is the NGPC consideration of GAC Beijing advice dated 3rd July 2013, which is the full scorecard. So you will note that between Beijing and now, we have been getting scorecards coming from the new GTLD program committee, and based on their most recent meeting and resolutions and decisions coming out about the GAC's advice, they have now formulated a complete scorecard. So this is the state of play in terms of their responses on the entire Beijing communique, including Annex 1. And so this is, I hope, a useful tool for us to see at a quick glance the state of play regarding the policy program committee's consideration of the GAC's advice. As well, recently circulated was a paper coming from the new GTLD program committee of the board, and that is titled Questions and Concerns Regarding Portions of the GAC's Safeguard Advice. And this is focused on the Category 1, which also relates to what is being called Category 2.1 of the annex to the Beijing communique, where the committee has identified outstanding questions or concerns for the GAC. And so this paper is meant to give us further information, further guidance, for when we meet with them tomorrow morning, I think at 10 o'clock, to look at these main outstanding issues that come from our Beijing communique. The other issue is regarding the issue of implementation of acronyms of the intergovernmental organizations and how to be responsive to the concerns that have been raised by the IGOs in light of the questions coming from the board there as well. And we can find some guidance from the new GTLD committee in the covering letter from the 3rd of July that was sent to us and signed by the chair of the board, and in the first section there entitled Initial Protections for IGO Protections, and that is to update the GAC on some of the decisions they have made and some of the questions or concerns that they are now raising with us and the IGO coalition on that. So I think these are the key outstanding issues, but I do expect that colleagues here will identify others if they think there are other parts of the scorecard where they would like the GAC to comment further or provide further guidance. So at this point, can we take any initial comments from colleagues about where we are and their thoughts about the agenda that we have identified for tomorrow morning for our exchange with the new GTLD program committee? China, please. I'm sorry, I can't see who's raising their hand, but please go ahead.
I have no question.
This is Peru, Chair.
Please go ahead, Peru.
Okay, thank you so much, Madam Chair. Peru is taking the floor in behalf of a sizable number of countries concerned about the application of geographic names and in general, and with the application of .Amazon in particular. Concerns that we would like to request the GAC members to endorse. However, firstly, allow me just to salute our fellow colleagues here and to express our appreciation to the government of South Africa for hosting us. The statement is submitted by countries as Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Peru, and Uruguay with the full support of the Amazon region countries. And it reads as follows. We acknowledge that the GAC principles regarding new GTLDs adopted in 2007 clearly establish that the principles shall not prejudice the application of the principle of national sovereignty. Besides, we understand that highlighting the importance of public interest is a relevant element that gives stability, sustaining the multi-stakeholder model, and ultimately the legitimacy of ICANN's administration. In this sense, this model should contemplate adequate mechanisms before the GAC to guarantee a proper representation of the governments and their communities regarding the public policy issues within the ICANN framework. It is fundamental that governments have the adequate instance where their opinions can be effectively considered, particularly in a context of unprecedented wide open call for application that has brought uncertainty for both governments and applicants, that has created conflicts with existing rules and will establish precedents and benchmarking for future operations. In the context of the last applications for new GTLD process, various strings have generated concerns from different countries. This is the case of Brazil, Peru, and the Amazonic countries with the application for .Amazon by the company Amazon Inc. And until very recently was the case for Argentina and Chile with the application of .Patagonia. From the beginning of the process, our countries have expressed their concerns with the aforementioned applications, presenting various documents to the GAC, referring to the context and basis of the national and regional concerns, including early warning and GAC advice requests. Various facts recorded in several historiographical, literary, and official documents throughout history, including the recent official regional declarations, have been submitted and explained by each country directly to the GAC and to the applicants through the established procedures and through an active engagement process with the interested parties that has allowed us to explain our position for requesting the withdrawal of the applications. This is the position adopted, for example, by the 4th Latin American and Caribbean Ministerial Conference on Information Society, the Amazon Cooperation Treaty Organization, the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee, the Brazilian Congress, and the Brazilian Civil Society, the Peruvian Congress Commission on Indigenous Peoples, local governments of the Peruvian Amazon region, and several representatives of the Peruvian civil society. The 2007 principle states that ICANN's core values indicate that the organization, while remaining rooted in the private sector, recognizes that governments and public authorities are responsible for public policy and should take into account governments and public authorities' recommendations. They also make reference to the provision of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the obligation that the new GTLDs should respect the sensitivities regarding terms with national, cultural, geographic, and religious significance. They clearly add that ICANN should avoid country, territory, or place names, and country, territory, or regional language, or people descriptions, unless in agreement with the relevant governments or public authorities. Therefore, within the context of the approved principles, there is clear basis that supports our position as governments. We understand that the introduction, delegation, and operation of new GTLDs is an ongoing process, and therefore, it is subject to constant evaluation, evolution, and change in order to improve the program. Being the first applications to be analyzed, the decision that will be taken are going to be relevant for future cases and will have effects in future applications, which might potentially affect every country. In relation with this application, involved governments have expressed serious concerns related to the public interest. In particular, .Amazon is a geographic name that represents important territories of some of our countries which have relevant communities with their own culture and identity directly connected with the name. Beyond the specifics, this should also be understood as a matter of principle. During our last meeting in Beijing, the great majority of the governments represented in the GAC understood the legitimate concerns we have raised related to the use of geographic names in new GTLDs. We believe that this new GAC meeting is again an important opportunity for the GAC to give a clear mandate following the current principles for new GTLDs approving the GATT advice proposals submitted by Brazil and Peru for .Amazon addressed to the ICANN board in order to reject this application. We stand by the commitment to the GATT principles regarding new GTLDs adopted in 2007, which require countries' prior approval for the filing of geographic names and encourage ICANN to formulate clear criteria limiting the utilization of geographic names as top-level domain names in the next rounds of the program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for those comments, Peru. The GAC will discuss this agenda item on Tuesday at 10:30, I believe. I consider your comments relevant to that particular agenda item. All right. Peru, you have further comments?
Yes, just very briefly. Yes, we will come back in the next opportunity on this, but just to let our colleagues that this statement has already been provided by the Secretary, and you must have it all in the internet in your mail accounts. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification about the materials. For that agenda item regarding the strings for further consideration that we outlined in the Beijing communique, we do have materials that we have posted and circulated and that are available to GAC colleagues. And that includes statements and reports from GAC members. If we look at the state of play with the overall scorecard and views regarding the agenda specifically identified for our exchange with the new GTLD Policy Committee tomorrow, are there thoughts on, for example, do we have agreement that those are the key items that we have a need to exchange with the committee tomorrow on? Is there anything further that colleagues would like to flag that the GAC may need to look at this week in terms of the response? As I say, most of the advice was accepted by the new GTLD committee of the board. And then, as I say, there are these outstanding items that that we will have a discussion about with the new GTLD committee tomorrow. So I see Switzerland and Australia. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's one other issue I would wanted to bring to the attention. In the GAC communique of Beijing, we had not in the safeguard part, but in the general advice on new GTLDs, we had a text about community support for applications, which basically says that in cases where a community has expressed a collective and clear opinion, positive or negative, on an application, that ICANN should take this into account. And ICANN basically just responded to referring to the community evaluation and objection process. And the idea of this text is that this should be done also in cases where there has been no community application or no community objection, but because some of the communities were not aware of these procedures or have been advised not to use them for reasons because they were too complicated or other things. There's lots of feedback that we have got in the past months that many communities, although they would, they are clearly a community, did not use these procedures. And the idea of this text in the communique was to raise the awareness about this to ICANN and to the board, and I think we should clarify this in the meeting with the GTLD committee that we did not intend just to refer to the existing structures, but that the awareness is more fundamental than this. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Switzerland. My quick reaction is that in terms of the understanding around what was intended by the GACS advice, I remember there was some back and forth about that. And I think what we would need to do is, as a GAC, have a discussion about whether there's agreement that we would clarify along the lines you're proposing. It's not clear to me at this point that we could do that. So let's create time for us to have that discussion, and then we can also raise it in the exchange with the board on Tuesday. And then focus on the current agenda of the new DTLD committee. So we will take note of the need for a follow-up discussion in the GAC about what was intended in providing this advice, which was accepted by the board GTLD committee, and identify what, if anything, further we would want to comment on or advise on. And we can also make use of the meeting that we have at the end of Tuesday with the board. So let's take careful note of that item and deal with it that way. Okay, so next I have Australia, then United States, then Germany. So Australia, please.
Thank you, Chair. So I have a number of comments about the agenda. The first one is on the questions which the board has sent through to the GAC to help structure our discussion, or the new GTLD program committee has sent through. For those who've had a chance to read them, as they only came through today, I think they're quite detailed. And one thing which I think would be interesting to focus on in our discussion with the committee is if there are any areas of potential agreement. It seems where they've focused in great detail on the wording of a particular phrase and various questions, and they've gone into quite a lot of detail. The sense that I don't have from the feedback that we've got is areas where there may not be questions or where there is potentially some sort of provisional agreement. And it might be interesting to draw out areas where where there aren't issues and see if we can build on those rather than diving into detailed areas where we may sort of get lost, so to speak. The second one is I think we may, although I don't think it's been flagged directly by the committee, we may be in a discussion with them about the closed generic issue. Whilst I think the response from the board indicates that they've accepted it in part, there's a dialogue on the remainder. And in the scorecard, it's mentioned that they will seek clarification on our advice with respect to exclusive registry access. And from the way it's phrased, I'm not exactly sure which bits they're going to seek clarification on. So I think it might be something for us to be prepared for. There's a number of component parts to that GAC advice in terms of generic strings, what the public interest may be, and so on. So I'm not sure where the board will focus. But their scorecard response does flag that they want to talk with us about that at some stage. And a potential third thing to consider is another one that the board accepted the advice, but potentially where there may still be further questions is on the issue of singles and plurals. Where we asked the board to reconsider this, the board did and considered that their initial reaction was okay. I'm interested in whether any other GAC colleagues are as convinced as the board is. I think from my perspective, it still seems to raise questions from a very simple common sense perspective. I understand that there is an expert group who has provided advice here about confusability and so on. But from a user perspective, I still find it very difficult to believe that this will not be confusing, that there will be a string and a plural of a string with an S at the end, and that users will understand the difference. There's a number of other aspects to this, the potential gaming behaviours if in the second round If it seemed to be okay to apply for plurals, what's to stop applicants applying for plurals of very successful GTLDs in this round just to leverage off of their marketing and success and so on? But I am concerned about consumer confusion with singles and plurals, and I'm interested to see whether anyone else shares that concern.
Thank you very much for those comments, Australia. So your first proposal to try and give some focus to our discussions and approach regarding the issues raised in the paper that we've just received, I think is a practical one. So I'm happy for us to try to identify areas where we do agree with them as a way to help us move through consideration of these outstanding issues. Touching upon closed generics and precisely how that will be handled, what the process is around that, I think will be of interest to us to understand as well. So I have taken note of that. Regarding singular and plurals, I will put them in the same pile, that issue in the same pile as the issue raised by Switzerland regarding community support. So that allows us to again, have GAC discussion following our exchange with the committee tomorrow morning, and then if we wish to raise that in the meeting with the board, we can do so. And having done so after hearing from colleagues in the GAC and having a more full discussion, and again, this allows us to focus on the outstanding category safeguard advice for tomorrow morning and the IGO's issue. Okay, so we have a second agenda forming that we will find time to discuss as a GAC later on. Okay, so next I have United States, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I did think it's useful to throw this out there, and I trust that colleagues will share our view, I hope. I think the board, the new GTLD committee, has been amazingly responsive to the GAC, and I think this approach that is being followed of following the scorecard kind of methodology and coming back to the GAC in after succeeding meetings is extremely helpful so that we know what their thinking is. And I think I'd like to, hopefully we will also say this to the board when we meet in public with the whole community. I think we also owe a great deal of gratitude to the entire community for being so responsive to the GAC's Beijing advice. And I think all of the applicants clearly stepped up and responded to the Beijing communique in a very short window, and every other interested member of the community did as well. So I think it's worthy of note that the community was incredibly responsive to the Beijing communique. So I just wanted to put that out as sort of a threshold statement. We have been tracking all of the board messages back to the GAC. Unfortunately, with apologies to them, but this latest communication just came to us today, and I had very similar questions as Peter did from Australia. In some cases, it's not entirely clear to me what the board is actually asking of the GAC. So, and maybe they think turnabout is fair. I don't know. Maybe we weren't as clear, they thought, as we needed to be in our Beijing communique. But, for example, when they have that side-by-side list of some generic words and highly regulated sectors, I'm not entirely clear I understand what they are asking us to do, to verify whether a sector, a string, represents a regulated sector or not. So we might want to try to frame some questions that I don't know if colleagues share the hesitation I have or the questions I have. I just am not entirely clear what they're asking us to do with them. They also point out apologies, colleagues. I have managed to attract germs from several airplane rides, so I hope it doesn't get worse. They also talk about we didn't have a principled basis for distinguishing between certain categories and certain strings. And so while I'm not taking issue necessarily with what they're raising with us, I'm just not entirely sure I know what they're asking us to help them do as a next step. So I would certainly welcome thoughts from colleagues as to how we tackle these questions, because I assume we have all of us a shared goal as to, you know, moving the ball further down the field. We'd like to take as many of these things off the list as we possibly can. And I did want to make just a comment, since we haven't yet met with the new GTLD committee, but on the IGO issue, just to sort of confirm that my takeaway from the most recent conference call that we held with the board members, which I thought was extremely helpful, so appreciation to you, Chair, as well, for setting that up and managing to have that held before we came. I understand the board's statement to be they have accepted our advice in theory, and they've accepted it concretely for IGO names, but where we remain sort of where more work remains to be done is vis-a-vis IGO acronyms. So I did not hear them to say that they would not protect acronyms, but that they need to engage with us further. So I took that as a good sign. And my understanding, and I hope that colleagues will share their impression, those of you who are on the call, that the primary question I think they want to work with us on is exactly what process we will be following to review those acronyms that actually have are in use and can be legitimately used by third parties. So as we will all recall, our IGO coalition, they worked very hard. They developed a proposed approach, and that was circulated around the GAC list and sent to the board. And I'm going to put words in the board's mouth, and I think I'm correct, but the board can obviously correct me if I'm wrong, and certainly colleagues can as well. My takeaway from the July 3rd call was that the hesitation on the board's part about the proposed process was that it put the IGOs themselves in a position of being judge and jury as to whether a third entity has a legitimate right to use that acronym. And I think that's the crux of the problem. And so having said that, I also think there should be a solution, that we remove the IGOs from being judge and jury and rely on a more neutral approach, whether it's some variation of the Trademark Clearinghouse notification function, something along those lines that would actually provide a different platform so that, and I'll use the World Health Organization if I may, the World Health Organization could get a notification if a legitimate third-party use of the word WHO in the English language for another for any TLD that had nothing to do with the health sector. And presumably, the World Health Organization would consider that legitimate. I'm just throwing that out as an example. They're not here to speak, but strikes me that that would be legitimate. We need to find, I think, a more streamlined, cleaner way, more neutral approach, where the IGOs are not somehow, and I think they put themselves forward actually in an attempt to be helpful. So I'm looking at my IGO colleagues. I know that was probably their intention. But I think we have to appreciate there is some sensitivity on this issue. So I just wanted to throw that out, and I trust that others have the same perspective. If you do not, then we should probably talk about this before we meet with the board. So thank you.
Thank you for that, United States. So I think you've helpfully identified a couple of issues for us from the paper that it would be useful for us to raise when we meet with the GTLD committee. And regarding IGO acronyms, WIPO is ready to comment as well as part of our discussions this afternoon. So I will turn over to them shortly to provide some inputs to us. But I'm thinking that the crux of the issue as you present it is my understanding as well of where we are. So hopefully then we can turn to the GTLD committee and have them confirm that or clarify for us what is the precise nature of the issue. So I have Germany next in the speaking order, and unless I have other requests from GAC members, I have UK. Okay, UK. And then I will ask EU Commission, and then I will ask WIPO to comment on the IGO acronyms point. So Germany, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just want to comment on some of the positions from colleagues. First of all, I would like to support the US position in respect of the questioning what expect the board as answer from or for their questions in respect of our safeguard advice. I have also some doubt, and maybe in general, the question is what expects ICANN to be the role of the GAC in this respect? And it would be interesting to hear more about this, and maybe we need to discuss it in depth. The second issue is community support, which was raised by Switzerland. I would like to support this idea, and I think we had an advice in this respect. I also have the feeling that it was not answered adequately, and I therefore see a need for maybe refining our questions or reiterating it, making sure that the answer we received was not exactly the one we expected. But this is fine for me to discuss further in the GAC. The same issue is on string similarity, which is connection to plural and singular issues. I would like to ask the ICANN board whether they used the same system for identifying string similarities for the CCTLDs, IDN CCTLDs, and for this new GTLT process. And if it was not the same system they used, I think it would be difficult because, frankly, from it's more an impression and not a concrete notion, but I have the impression that the rules in respect of IDN CCTLDs were rather strict, not allowing any changes without infringing string similarity tests. And for the GTLDs, it's the contrary. There seem to be quite a lot of possibilities, even if they seem to be similar. One example is singular plurals. And insofar, I would like to know whether they used the same algorithm. And if not, I think it would be some issue that the GAC could raise and ask a question. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Germany. That's helping confirm, I think, where we're headed and how to prepare our agendas and discussions for our meetings this week. Okay, great. So next I have United Kingdom, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just two anxieties. Firstly, as maybe several colleagues here have done, I did a consultation with our supervisory authorities and regulators last week, and it's a pity we didn't have these questions in time for that. And if there are issues that are in this document that require us to go back to our regulators and supervisory authorities, that's going to take some time, so I hope the board will appreciate that. We've made this point on previous occasions, I'm sure. My second anxiety is that I think there's a risk here that we're getting sucked into detailed implementation of safeguards, and I think we do, as Germany as indicated, need to be mindful of our role in terms of providing high-level advice and saying to ICANN, really, it's your job to implement, and you take advice as you think fit, but don't come to the GAC to help you on implementation. In addition, I just want to say I support Switzerland and on the community applications issue. As we discussed in Beijing, this was not about community applicants. It's about those applications that have proved themselves to be representative of communities, and that was the point of the advice. And I fear the GAC has misunderstood the advice. So we can talk this through in our discussion, as you suggested. On IGO acronyms, I think the proposal from the US is a good one. This is a very tricky issue. Over 200 IGOs. Some of them have very popular acronyms, but I mean popular in the sense of their acronyms used by other wide-ranging commercial and private interests, and some are even words and names. So some kind of neutral approach to sorting this out, which I believe the IGOs would be sympathetic to, sounds to me like the way forward. Thank you.
Thank you for that, UK. Next, I have EU Commission.
Thank you, Chair. The UK GAR representative has actually passed on part of the messages I wanted to communicate with this intervention, but we would like to reiterate that the fact that the Board gave its reply only on the 2nd of July has given very little time for the European Commission to run internal consultations, since we are a big institution, as you know. And hence, for the time that we have to engage into discussions with the Board, there are some issues that might be still under discussion, and we would like to defer big decisions for Buenos Aires. And we've also noticed that the response from the new GTLD committee and the questions that are posed to the GAC actually force us to go beyond giving high-level advice and force us to go down the road of implementation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So next we have WIPO to provide us with some comments on the issue of acronyms, I believe. So over to you, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, GAC members. My name is Jo Teng from WIPO, and I am here with my colleague, Sam Paltridge, from the OECD to my left. We greatly appreciate being given the opportunity to be here speaking on behalf of the IGO Coalition. This coalition consists of over 40 IGOs, plus another 15 UN agencies such as UNICEF, and all of us representing a wide range of essential global public interests and who are created by and accountable to the states you represent. The two GAC communiques from Toronto and Beijing recognize and endorse a strong public interest in protecting both IGO names and acronyms at the top and second level of the domain name system. On this basis, the GAC and IGOs actively worked together to identify a contained list of IGOs whose names and acronyms are to be protected. Since then, the ICANN board has recognized that the remaining issue is the implementation of this protection. In relation to this implementation, the board identified 3 points. First, the languages in which IGO names and acronyms are to be protected. Second, the process for future review of the list. And third, how to handle acronyms for which there may be several claims. IGOs have now provided answers and proposals to each of these points. IGOs have agreed that their names and acronyms will only be protected in up to 2 languages rather than the UN 6 languages. IGOs have agreed that the list of names and acronyms would be regularly reviewed, either prior to delegation of any domains in a new GTLD round or every 3 years, whichever is earlier. Finally, IGOs have agreed that where a user wishes to register a domain name that matches an IGO name or acronym, that IGO cannot stand in the way of such registration where the registration is for a bona fide purpose, as opposed to something unlawful or dishonest that would harm the public by pretending some kind of connection with the IGO. Should an IGO and user come into dispute over a proposed domain name registration, that dispute would certainly be able to be reviewed. The mechanism proposed by the IGOs is workable, efficient, and vitally, considering that IGOs are publicly funded by your states, cost-effective. That being said, IGOs remain, as always, flexible and open to engage in good faith discussions with the GAC and the board on the operation of such mechanism. It should, however, be kept in mind that the purpose of these discussions is to implement a system that protects IGO names and acronyms, particularly acronyms, which, given that IGO names are a bit of a mouthful, are the identifiers by which IGOs are far better known, from abuse in a vastly expanded domain name system. And I thank you very much for letting us speak here today.
Thank you very much for those comments. Okay, so I don't see further requests at this time. Okay, Netherlands.
Thank you, Heather. As you asked for topics which could be discussed also in the safeguards and the other sessions we have, I want to make a statement on behalf also of registry.amsterdam, which basically says that they will not be able to sign a registry contract because it's in violation of data protection legislation. And there are remediation possibilities, and I think also the GEO Group will come back to this because it's not only a problem for .Amsterdam. While they have, let's say, many registries have a problem with signing the current and agreed registry agreement, however, there are remediation and exemptions possible, but this procedure in the registry agreement doesn't fit is not something which is fit for .Amsterdam as a public authority. They will even be in breach of national legislation, even signing the contract itself and then afterwards remediating it. So I would raise this. Would like to raise this point not now in content, but I would raise it in also in during our talks tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you for raising this further issue. We will have a briefing from the GOTLD group. I don't know whether they will raise this issue. I suppose they could. Okay, you seem to think they might. So this will give us some opportunity to hear from them and reflect on this issue further. And then in terms of whether we raise it tomorrow or whether we raise it as part of this other set of issues, list of issues that we are creating to come back to as a GAC, we can think about how to treat this. But I understand this as being an RAA issue. Is that correct? Or am I... Could you clarify?
It is a registry agreement problem.
Ah, registry agreement, right. Okay, so that helps, thank you. So I can put the right title to this, registry agreements. All right, so next I have a request from Belgium, and then I will move to close the speaking list so that we can receive our briefing from the GOTLD group. So, Belgium, please.
Merci, Madame la Présidente. Une brève intervention pour dire...
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to take the floor to express our support to Germany's and Switzerland's positions regarding this community applications. We have the support of the communities in this regard, even when they have not been approved. We also support the UK's position regarding the need to define more accurately what advice is expected from the GAC with regard to the fact that we are not in a position to control the implementation of safeguards. And finally, we would like to discuss the importance of having the support of political authorities within the framework of geographical names applications, the importance of having the local authorities' support when it comes to applications regarding geographical domain names. Thank you.
Last look around. Okay, so we will continue these exchanges tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So what I'm hearing is confirmation that we have a discussion planned and an agenda agreed with the GTLD committee for our exchange tomorrow to talk about Category 1 safeguards as well as it relates to closed generics and plans around that. And as well the issue of protecting IGO acronyms. And then in addition, we have additional issues identified where we might need further GAC discussion. If we can do that tomorrow morning, then let's make use of that time. If not, we will find time to further discuss the issue of the advice we gave on community applications and what we intended in fact, with that advice, and as well the issue of singular and plurals of the same string. And again, our advice was accepted there, where we asked the board to look at this issue, and they did. And just to be clear, they made a decision. There was a resolution saying that they would not do anything particular or make changes to the guidebook to deal particularly with this issue. So now it's being proposed that the GAC may want to look at this again and provide further comments and advice. So I also have that on the list. And as well, the issue of registry agreements, and particularly a circumstance where an applicant would have a conflict or a potential conflict with national laws, and how that would be treated based on how the registry agreements are currently formulated. So that's where we are today. We will continue in this manner when we continue at 9 o'clock tomorrow and before we meet with the GTLD committee. So I'll just check that our presenters are here from the GOTLD group. Perfect. Okay, so we'll move to have that briefing now, and just take one moment.